Sure. Good evening, everyone. So, let's jump right into the topic. I know last time I was here, we learned tshuva together, shas and tshuvas together. But the piece I picked is very, very long. So I'm not going to sit here for the next 3 hours with you and learn through the piece. So I just brought you the basic marmakomos on the source sheet. And the ayin sham, what we're going to learn from tonight is from a piece in Bikri Atzon from Rabbi Schechter, and Simin Yud Ches. And it relates to the upcoming Chaf Ches Kislev of Yom Yerushalayim. Has to do with how we relate to Yerushalayim as it's been rebuilt, and it really speaks on the level of the halachas of kriya, of how we tear kriya when a person is in Eretz Yisrael, visiting Eretz Yisrael, Ar Yehuda, the Har HaBayis, things like that. And Rav Schechter, in all of his Divrei Torah, is very beautiful, but here he really brings together in his very unique style of, you know, a meandering style that kind of goes all over the place until it comes back to the end to pull all the pieces together. So let's jump right in. Again, Bikvei Atzon, Siman Yud Ches. There's a Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan says in Daf Chavav, Amar Aleph, Ve'elu Karayin She'ein Misachen. They are people who rent their clothing in mourning, and they are not allowed to mend, not allowed to re-sew their clothing. Hakorei Al Aviv Ve'al Imo, a person who tears his clothing for a mother or a father who passed away, Ve'al Arei Yehuda Ve'al HaMikdash Ve'al Yerushalayim, or upon seeing Arei Yehuda, the cities of Judah that were destroyed, or destroyed Beis HaMikdash, or Yerushalayim in its ruins. Ve'korei Al Mikdash, U'mosif Al Yerushalayim. And the way one conducts himself when they come to Yerushalayim, when they see it, is as follows. First, he tears kriya on his clothing for the Beis HaMikdash, and then he pulls more, he extends, he's most of the kriya for Yerushalayim itself. That's what the Mishnah says. Good? Fine.
Yerushalayim is more, I guess, it seems more common or more sad.
Ah, good. Okay, good. Excellent, good. Ur Minhu. So, well, it might depend.
It's coming from Ben Gurion.
Good. So the Gemara, that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara then says the following point. Ur Minhu. Where you have a contradiction from a brisa, echad hashomea ve'echad haroeh, both one who hears that Yerushalayim is in ruins and also one who sees the destruction as well, kevan shigia l'tzofim, when he comes to Har Tzofim or Mount Scopus as we call it nowadays, so it says korea v'korea al mikdash b'fnei atzmo, so he tears his garment and then he tears his garment for the Beis HaMikdash separately and then again Yerushalayim b'fnei atzmo again, so that seems to have it in a different order than the way that the Gemara says, the Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, lo kash, it's not a problem. Ha, depaga b'mikdash b'resha, this brice that says that instead of making a separate tear for Yerushalayim, you simply extend your mosif on the first kriya. So that is referring to a case where I came to the makam b'mikdash first before seeing Yerushalayim, right? You came from the back, right? You came from the Har HaTzofim side of Yerushalayim. So you came to the Mikdash first, and then you saw Yerushalayim in ruins. Ha depagu Yerushalayim bereisha. But the braisa that says that you have to make a separate tear for Yerushalayim and for the Mikdash, that's referring to where you saw Yerushalayim first, and then only afterwards did you see the Makom HaMikdash. So comes Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his Chidushim on Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Kuf Samech Aleph, which is the halachas of Chorban and Zechiras Chorban, so Rabbi Kiva Eger cites a sefer called the Taiva Le'enayim. I don't know so much about the sefer, but Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes it. And he says that we clearly see here there are three levels of chiyuv of when it comes to tearing kriya. Tearing for the Mikdash is the most severe. Tearing for Yerushalayim is the second tier of severity. And then finally, tearing for Ar Yehuda is clearly the least severe out of all three. Now, when it comes to kriya for a human being, if a relative passed away, Rachman al-Tzlan, there's not three levels, there's only two. What are the two options? Either for a parent, for a mother and a father, or for Shar Krovim, for other relatives, right? Now, if that's the case, so says Rabbi Kiva Eger, let's see if we can compare the two. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerodeim Siman Shin Mem, in the laws of Kriya Navelis. The Shulchan Aruch says the following point. It says that if you tear Kriya for a parent, let's say you tear Kriya for a parent, and then you find out that a relative passes away. One of the other Krovim pass away. So what's the halacha? You can be Mosif on the Kriya. I already tore over here. And says the Shulchan Aruch, then if I find more bad information, I can just continue tearing down. That's your parent first, relative second. However,
even though it's different sides.
Okay, so sides is not ma'akev. Sides is a minhag. It's not ma'akev which side you tear on. So if it's the other way, though, let's say you find out Shar Krovim, a relative who's not a parent, and then you find out about a parent, you can't simply be mosif on the first kriya, says the Shulchan Aruch, because the kriya for a parent is more chamor, it's more severe. If it's a more severe type of kriya, the halacha is you can't add on the first one. Only if the first one is more chamor, then can you add on to the initial kriya. Can it be it can't be a hosafa. So, what's Rabbi Kiviger's point here? What does he want us to know? Rabbi Kiviger is telling us that if you see Arei Yehuda, which is the lowest level, so you can't be Mosif Kriya if you then see Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is a higher, more chamor level, because Yerushalayim has this higher level of Kedusha. But if I saw Yerushalayim first, and then I saw Arei Yehuda, I can't be Mosif because it's a lower level of Chiyuv. That's what Rabbi Kiviger seems to be saying. That's the comparison, the order of how you see it. Okay, fine. Now let's turn to a sefer that Rav Shechter quotes a lot over here in this piece, and that's the sefer Har HaKodesh. Har HaKodesh is by Rav Moshe Nachum Shapiro, who's a Talmid Chacham, lived about, you know, in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote on different aspects. The sefer Har HaKodesh is a major work on the halachas of Kedusha, of how we relate to, literally, Har HaKodesh, about the Har HaBayis. So he records the following thing. What does he say over here? Ubesefer Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim. In the book titled Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, everyone has it there, right? The second source, Kasav. It says Ki Achazon Ish Zatzal Kishenichnas Yerushalayim Hatika Mishar Yafo. When the Chazon Ish would enter Yerushalayim from Shar Yafo, right? Kara Kriya Al Yerushalayim. He would tear Kriya on first entering Yerushalayim. Velo Kara Al Kosal Maravi. When he came to the Kosal, he wouldn't tear. Right? Everyone's following? Then it says the following point. Asher al keinira, ki kriya zu shekara chazunish zasal. The kriya that the chazunish tore, lo haisa Yerushalayim avada. It wasn't just for Yerushalayim, elakara kriya achas al Yerushalayim al mikdash. It must be that when he tore kriya by Shar Yafo, he had in mind Yerushalayim, and then also for the Beis HaMikdash. Ki batach rab mekuda mes HaMikdash Yerushalayim keachas. That he saw the Mikdash Yerushalayim being one entity. So it was one, you know, two birds for one stone, to borrow a phrase. Like what? Like two people who passed away. What's the problem with this? What's the problem understanding the Chazanish that way? What did we just say? Two Mesim Ke'achas, two at the same time, you can't really do if they have what? Two levels of Kedusha.
That's the Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, right? About when you say the Mikdash, what was considered the Mikdash?
Good.
Right?
Good. So the way we're saying the Chazon Ish over here is that the Shulchan Aruch says one kriya for two people only works if Shar Krovim are the same, or it's two parents that are the same. But if it's Shar Krovim and a parent, I need how many kriyos? I need two. So how can he quotes here the Kaf HaChaim over here, he says the Kaf HaChaim, the Chazon Ish. How can they say you tear one kriya for Chorban Yerushalayim and Chorban Beis HaMikdash, which are two different levels of kriya? So Rav Shechter says, Tzarachian on the Kaf HaChaim. Yeah.
The example you had before where something happened and something else happened.
Yeah.
But here it seems like it all happened at the same time. So maybe you can't go from what we said before.
Why?
No, because the problem is that the parent dies the same, the shark dies the same time. Perhaps one kriya, which is the strongest, will take care of it.
Yeah.
Saying,
and then
it's Shakar, or saying, I don't
need
to do the same.
They're not simultaneous.
They're not simultaneous. But here, I'm not seeing Yerushalayim based on
Migdash
simultaneously.
But he says, ki betach rav, he's right, there is a Migdash one kiyakas. Yeah. He's saying, potentially, he's being metaritz, the chazanish, then he must have.
He must understand it this way. So then Shakar's question is, but that doesn't seem to fit with the rules of how we have it. If you have something that's chamor and less chamor, you can't double up at the same time.
Well, where did we see that?
What?
Where did we see that works at the same time?
No, meaning in the same, not at the same time, but I have two in front. The Shulchan Aruch said, if I have a kriya for a parent and then kriya for a relative, so that I can go.
No, but does that happen? I'm saying is, what if a helicopter dropped you off by the kosher?
Yeah.
You didn't go to Shaya.
Yeah.
At that point, you're seeing
only Yerushalayim, only the kosher.
No, but so you're seeing kosher, and you're in Yerushalayim.
But I didn't see it.
What do you even see? You're in Yerushalayim. What do you even see in Yerushalayim?
If a person, no, because kosher represents Mikdash, right? So the example of the Gemara was, I'm coming from Haaretz Ophim, so I see Mikdash first.
I hear, but I'm saying that if you're dropped by the Kosel, you're seeing both simultaneously.
At the same time. Okay. I hear.
I'm trying to say that there is, in effect, the way the Chassidish was viewing it, I'm here, this is.
And it's all the one thing. Okay.
They're being treated as separate entities, like a parent and another relative.
Correct.
Separate entities.
Yeah. But
no, but to be saying that if they come one after the other in Seri Adam, right, it makes sense. But if they come simultaneously, why should they? I don't even know what the halach is. If you hear two mason
at the exact same moment, then it has a feasible.
Yeah, they were in an accident.
Accidents, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. I'm just saying it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the halach is if it's at that same. That I'm not sure about. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. So fine, let's move on to the next thing. So, we saw from the above Gemara that kriya for a parent is similar to kriya over Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, right? That was the comparison the Gemara made. So let's look at the Rambam Hilchos Tainus. The Rambam says Hilchos Tainus Perakei, Kol Akruyim Ha'elu Kulam Kore B'yado Mu'umud V'Kore Al Ksus Shalav Ad Shigas Libo. For all people that you're tearing for, you tear with your hand while standing on your outer garment, until you expose your heart, which means the left side. So the Ravid on the Rambam says as follows. Iya Amar Avram, lo kein nira mina gemara. It doesn't appear to me from the Gemara. Shrei shonu b'tosefta, it says in the Tosefta, v'hoshvu l'aviv l'imo, ala achuvei bilvad, aval b'kli, v'chol ha-begadim sha'alav, ad shigala eslibo lo hoshvu. The Gemara only compares the two things regarding what? The fact that you are tearing, right? But not the dinim that has to be the kli or the heart and therev as well. So the Ravid is arguing on the Rambam that not everything has to be exactly between mikdash and a relative. The minug is that over a parent, we tear on the left. It's not a halacha. It's a minug that over the parent, we tear on the left side. And for shar krovim, we tear on the right side. That's the minug. So the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam that kri on the mikdash is on the left side over the heart. The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say this as well, but the real minug is like the Ravid, that we are not makpid to tear over the heart for the mikdash. If a person does, it's fine. But if a person doesn't, we don't make them tear again. So we see here this machlokes in the Rambam and the Ravid plays out again regarding how much do we transfer from relatives and parents to mikdash and the Yerushalayim. Let's now go in a different direction. The Magen Avraham in Siman Tavkuf Samach Al teaches the following. Umi shenolod b'Yerushalayim, a person who was born in Jerusalem. Afilu higdil eino, even if he was raised there. Eino tsarech likroa, he never has to tear kriya. Why? D'bikatnusa, when he was a child, putter. He was putter in kriya. Ukeshe higdil, and when he became older, became a gadol, eino tsarech likroa, he doesn't have to tear kriya. Why? Because I saw it within 30 days. So if a person was born in Yerushalayim and never left Yerushalayim as a child after they became Bar Mitzvah, and 30 days didn't pass, so the Magen Avraham says, he never has to tear Kriya, because Mimanav Shach, when he was a child, he was Patur, and when he was older, he didn't have 30 days without seeing Yerushalayim. So what's the assumption? There's no mitzvah of Chinuch for tearing kriya over Yerushalayim. The Gemara Moi Katan says that we tear kriya on a katan, though, for Avelus. Why? Because it causes pain to those who see the child. Not because a child needs to have kriya, there's no mitzvah chinuch of kriya, but rather because it causes pain for other people. So Rabbi Kivi Eger in Shulchan Aruch says that this is only for a katan she lo higi l'chinuch. 3, 4, 5-year-old kid who's not going to understand Avelis. Okay? However, says Rabbi Kveger, if the child is Higiyah L'chinuch, we're talking about 10, 11, you know, 12-year-old kid, then he does tear a tefach. There is a mitzvah of chinuch for a child who's Higiyah L'chinuch when it comes to Kriya. So, if that's the case, what's the question on the Magen Avraham? How can the Magen Avraham say there's no mitzvah of chinuch for tearing on Yerushalayim? When that kid who was born in the old city turns 10, 11, 12, so then there's a mitzvah of chinuch, of avelus. Why shouldn't he tear? If we're comparing the two, why shouldn't the child tear when he gets to the age of chinuch? I understand 3-4-year-old kid, there's no mitzvah of chinuch, and we're not sad, we're not trying to show sadness for other people. That's only for a relative who passes away. But when he reaches the age of chinuch, so why does the Magen Avraham say that we don't tear kriya for the Yerushalayim for a katan? So the Gemara Moed Katan says that Avelus and Kriya are two separate dinim. Avelus l'chud and Kriya l'chud. It's true that katan shigi l'chinuch does Kriya, but that doesn't mean that a katan has chinuch in Avelus. There's two things. There's Kriya and there's Avelus. So the Mishnah Berurah says that there is no chinuch to fast for the Dalad Somos, over the Chorban, right? You have a child who's a Higiyah L'chinuch, there's no mitzvah for him to fast. By Yom Kippur, that's different. It's not in Avelis. Rav Shach writes in the footnotes, could be by Tainus Esther, there's a mitzvah of chinuch, because Tainus Esther is not Avelis. So if it's not Avelis, you should be mechanech a child to fast for Tainus Esther. What's the reason here? The reason must be that those fasts are about Avelis. Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Teves, Shiva Sarbatamus from Gedalia. And even a katan shigi l'chinuch doesn't do avelus. When the child who's a gil l'chinuch, we tear kriya for him, when he reaches the age of chinuch, that's a din in kriya. But there's no mitzvah, there's no chinuch of avelus for a child. There's a chinuch in kriya that when he's a gil l'chinuch. But in avelus, we don't have him tear. So why then is it usur for a child to have basar v'yayin during the 9 days? How come in camps we don't say, right, the kids are in camps, why don't we say, there's no mitzvah of chinuch and avelus, children should be, not yayin in camp, not serving wine in camps, that's a special type of camp, not most camps, but why are we not serving meat during the 9 days, right? The camp rabbi should say, there's no mitzvah of chinuch and avelus, and the children are not bar and bas mitzvah, so let them have meat. There's no chinuch of avelus for a child. Everyone hears the question? So the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us the famous story. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the second time. People stopped eating meat and wine. Because why? There's no korbanos, there's no nesachim, so they're not going to have it. And so Rabbi Yeshua came to them and said, but if that's the case, what about fruit? They brought bikurim. And what about water? What about menachos, no mazonos? And then what about water? Because they brought nisach hamayim. And eventually they had to give in and say, we can't survive. We have to, this is a gzeira she'enat tzibur yachal lamad bo. This is a gzeira that the Jewish people can't stand. It's not reasonable to not eat any foods. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. The 9 days, says Rav Shechter, before Tisha B'Av, that is a fulfillment of that Gemara. The 9 days is us saying, that's a gzeira that tzibur can handle. For 9 days you can go without meat and wine. For 9 days, you can reflect on that aspect of not having it. And therefore, not eating meat during the 9 days is not a din in avelus. It's a form of zecher lemigdash, says Rav Shechter. Not eating meat and wine is not about avelus. You're right. There is no chinuch for avelus. What? The simcha would override the zecher lemigdash. It's zecher lemigdash. It's not avelus. It's a separate din. During the 9 days, you can be mechanech a child in Zeichel Migdas. You can be mechanech a child in being Dorish Tzion. That is a reasonable thing. And therefore, that's why a child, says Rav Shechter, doesn't have meat and wine during the 9 days. So if that's the case, the Gemara Yevamo says that Avelus on the Chorban is Avelus Yishana. It's Avelus that is old. It's not a recent Avelus. And the halach is that for a Shmur Rechoka, if you find out after 30 days from the person passed away, there's no kriya. Because why? It's not shas chimum. The intensity of the moment has passed. So I don't tear kriya anymore because the intensity of that heat is not there anymore. By a shmul rechoka, though, for a parent, there is kriya. Why? Because that's a din of kibud avim, but not as a din of avelus of any passing. When we see the chorba nowadays, it's avelus yeshana, right? When I see the Beis HaMikdash, it's an avelus for the last 2,000 years. And like any shmul rechoka, any avelus that we're observing something happened a long time ago, there's no din of kriya, right? There's only din of kriya when there's the intensity of that new emotion that something happens right now. And this doesn't exist anymore for the korban. And therefore, Rav Shachter says the chiyuv to tear kriya nowadays is a din in avelus. It's not a din in kriya. It's not the din of kriya b'shas chimum, a relative passed away. It's a din in avelus of something that happened many, many years ago.
Isn't there a thought that in every generation that doesn't
It's true. It's in machshava. I don't know what that means. The halacha. That's a idea in machshava. Correct. Correct. But still, that's in machshava.
And the concept that deserves kriya. That's based on
that.
That Avilus deserves kriya by like being
based. Yeah.
That's from the Gemara.
That's from the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara Mori Katan says that.
So this would be Avilus, but not.
It's not kriya like we do by a mace. It's a velus. It's a show. It's a sign of sign of my mourning. So says Rav Shechter, if that's the case, when the Magen Avraham says that a katan doesn't tear kriya over the chorban, it's because there's no din of kriya since it's an avelus yishana, and there's no mitzvah to mechanech the child in avelus yishana, and now there's also no kriya, and therefore it makes sense why the katan is not going to tear. Okay, now, many people don't tear Kriya when they go to Eretz Yisrael, Erev Shabbos, and Erev Yantif. This is a terrible mistake. The Har HaKodesh says the following name of the Chazon Ish. Let's see what he says. Ubekuntris nevuah sha'arech la Rav Agon Moreno Rav Zundel Grossberg. I assume he's not Shlita anymore. The book, this Sefer, is like 60 years old. So, unless he is. I don't want to say if he's not. I don't know. But she'yotze ze'ach shav la'or. Kasim Shemar na Chazanish Zatzal, the Chazanish, Amar Lo, Sh'ein la Hakel, Shalol de Kro, Be'erev Shabbos, O Be'erev Yantav Acher Chasos. The Chazanish said, there's no such thing of not tearing Kriya if you go visit the Kotel after Chasos, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantav. Milvad b'chalamoid yeshlaka. Chalamoid, that's a real thing. V'ayin b'yaradeya, b'hilchos Kriya, Shalom nizka sham minag ze, Shalol de Kro, Be'erev Shabbos, Erev Yantav, rak b'chalamoid. If you open up a Shulchan Aruch, learn Hilchos Avelus, it doesn't say you don't tear Kriya after Chatzos, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantiv. That's a din by Chol HaMoed. So the minhag is that we do tear Kriya on Chol HaMoed, and certainly over one's parents. So why is the Chazon Ish saying that we don't tear Kriya on Chol HaMoed when you see the Makom HaMikdash? You do tear Kriya on Chol HaMoed for a parent. So why is the Chazon Ish saying that you don't tear Kriya on Chol HaMoed? We already learned that Kriya over the Chorban is like Kriya for a parent. They're equivalent in some way. So the answer is that Kriya over the Chorban is a din in what? Kriya or Avelus? It's an Avelus, right? And that's what the Magen Avraham said. There was no Kriya for the Katan, even for Chinuch. And therefore, Chol HaMoed, there's no Avelus. And therefore, there's also no Kriya for the Chorban. And that's what the Chazon Ish is saying, that there's no Kriya because there's no Avelus. Fine. Now, the entire idea of not tearing Kriya on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, stems from the concept of, where do people get this idea from? Erev Pesach Achar Chatzos, right? We know that Erev Pesach Achar Chatzos has a special status, we're not supposed to shave, things like that. Lord is the Ramah right in Yerodea. Let's look at the Ramah in Yerodea, and he's citing the Or Zaruah. He says as follows, Hinei Samach L'chashecha U'be'erev Pesach, on Erev Pesach, Mutter B'kol Achar Chatzos. Really, this is a mistake that people make when they're in Shiva. They think, Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, okay, get up, shower, dress, whatever you want, Shabbos is coming. That's not true. You only get ready for Shabbos, Erev Yontif, with the exact amount of time you need to get ready, an hour, hour and a half before Shabbos Yontif. But you have to sit Shiva up until you have almost no more time to get ready for Shabbos. The only exception is Erev Pesach. Mutr b'chol after Chatzos. Tainu mizman shchitas haPesach veElach veAdav shiigalach kodem chatzos hoil vaAcherim asurim legalech archa chatzos and better to do it after chatzos, you know, because we have a whole issue of shaving, fine. The problem is that not tearing kriya after chatzos and erev Shabbos or yontif doesn't connect. The Ramah views erev Pesach archa chatzos, erev Pesach after midday, as being like chol hamoed. There's no din of avelus for a relative based on shas chimam. But when it comes to the Chorban, the kriya is about avelus shishan, it's about that old morning. And these are two different types of kriya. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to not tear kriya for the Chorban after Chatzos and Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, because it's not as in the Chol Hamoed, there's no Yontif there. It's not any special simcha after Chatzos, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. And it's a mistake that people get up from, you know, Shiva and things like that too early Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Okay, let's move on to the next piece. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tavkuf Samach Aleph writes in the name of the Kaftar of Aferach, Yeshu Kasu, there are those who say, Shemistabra, Shiyom Sharoa Adam Tchilas Yerushalayim B'chorbana. On the day that you see Yerushalayim and its destruction, She'isr Oso Hayom Kula B'basar V'yayin. Ooh, the Kaftar of Aferach says, so you go on your trip to Eretz Yisrael, and you go to the Kotel and you tear Kriya, so you can't go out to that fancy restaurant they were telling you about, the flagship place. You can't go there, because that's the day you tore Kriya. That's what the Kaftar of Aferach says. Ooh. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach in the Hara Koder says, it's only a midas chasidus. You don't have to do it. If you want to go to the fancy restaurant that your brother-in-law told you about, by all means, go ahead. It's midas chasidus if you don't want to do it. What? It's a good excuse. So, we mentioned that kriya over a mace is to show the pain of the immediate loss, right? That's the purpose of kriya over a mace. Similarly, when there's meso motel b'funav, when there's someone who passed away in front of us, what's the halacha for an onin? An onin can't drink wine or eat any meat. Why does he not do that? To show the pain over the loss. It's not, I'm in pain. I can't eat these types of foods because of the pain over this loss. So Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush argue whether that applies if the mace is in the city and you're being osek in the preparations. If this is a din that's about being involved in the preparations, then only if you're in the city do you have to refrain so that you don't become distracted from your responsibilities. I have a funeral to take care of. I'm going to sit down and start eating a steak and wine. I'm going to get distracted by what I have to do. But if you're in another city, the mace is in this city, but I'm in another city, it's okay to have basar v'yayin, according to one shita. Why? Because I'm not going to get distracted, because the funeral is taking place over there, and I'm over here. The other shita holds that no matter where you are, it's asur to have basar v'yayin. I'm not being osek in the kvura. I'm in Los Angeles. Somebody, the kvura is taking place in New York. And in that case, you know, I'm not going to be osek. Says the other shita, it's asur still to have basar v'yayin. Why? Because you need to show pain over the loss. And I'm not showing pain over the loss if I'm having basar v'yayin. And the Shulchan Aruch says l'maisa, that even if you're in another city, it's usur for the onin to have basar v'yayin. So what does that mean? According to the Kaftar of Aferach, it must be that kriya over Yerushalayim is a din in chimum, showing pain. Why can't I go out to the Fleishig restaurant that night when I land in Eretz Yisrael? Because, according to the Kaftar of Aferach, it's chimum, it's pain. I tore over the Chorban Yerushalayim. That's why it makes sense, according to him, you don't have basar v'yayin on the same day. That connects. But according to the Mahalach that we were saying, that Kriya is about Avelis Yishana, it's about the old morning, and it's not the same Kriya over a relative, it makes sense that there's no din of refraining from Basar V'yayin. Because I'm not tearing over the intensity of the moment, I'm tearing over an Avelis from 2,000 years ago. And therefore, that's why Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, it's only Midas Chasidus. Because my Avelis in tearing is Avelis Yishana, from many thousands of years ago. Okay, so now let's come to the Lamais. Let's talk about Yerushalayim and how this all comes together. Now that we set this up, the Tur writes in Siman Tavkuf Samach Aleph, our Siman, and he says that if you tear Kriya when Haroa Ari Yisrael b'Chorban, you see the Jewish city is destroyed, that's where you're supposed to tear Kriya. Now maybe he means any city. He just says Jewish cities. But the Beis Yosef and most Achronim understand that it's simply another way to say Ari Yehuda. That's what he means. It doesn't mean all the cities. It means the cities that are in Judah, and not every city do you stare kriya, like the Lashon of the Gemara, comes the Shari Tshuva. Listen, look at the Shari Tshuva. This is in your Mishnah Berurah. You can look it up yourself if you want. He cites in the Shita that you don't tear kriya over Chevron. Why? Ah, but it's a city that's Bechorbana. So he says as follows. Kasav Birka Yosef. B'shem Moro Zekeno Harav Bal Chesed La'avram. Shekasav Nagu Olam Shol Likra Al Chevron. Tichonein V'tibonein B'mher V'yamenu. People do not tear kriya over Chevron. Shemati B'shem Gadolim. I heard from great sages. V'fisha Chevron Me'are Miklat Shenisnu Levium. Because Chevron is an ear miklat. V'lav Me'are Yehuda. And therefore it's not called Ari Yehuda, even though technically it is in Judah. Because of Begillion Bar Barse, Harav Gadol Bedoro Marina of Avram Yitzchaki, Shedvarim Chalushim Heim, it's very weak, Ad Kad Lashono. Okay, so what's going on here? Ari Miklat? Why do you care if it's Ari Miklat? What's the discussion here? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos of Arizar Perak Dalid that an Ir Miklat or Yushalayim cannot become a Ir Hanidachas. It can't be a city that's destroyed for idolatry. Why? So the Ravid questions the source of this idea that an Ir Miklat can't become Ir Nir Nidachas. And he seems to understand that the Rambam views the Ir Miklat to be like Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim can't become Ir Nidachas, so to the Ir Miklat can't become Ir Nidachas. What's the reason Yerushalayim can't become Ir Nidachas? Because it doesn't belong to any Shevet. And the Pasuk says it has to be one of your cities. But Yerushalayim is none of our cities. It belongs to everyone all at the same time. It's not owned by any particular Shevet. And therefore, the Rambam is saying that's why you don't destroy an idolatrous city that's near Mikla, because it belongs to no one, just like Yerushalayim. Tosus in Maseches Yuma says this outright. So if it comes out that an Ir Miklat is not technically Ari Yehuda, since it wasn't given to, it didn't belong to Shevet Yehuda. It didn't belong to them, so therefore it's not technically Ari Yehuda. When we tear Kriya on the Makam HaMikdash, it's because of the Churban HaBayis. But Kriya on Ari Yehuda is subject to a Machlokas Achronim. Why am I tearing or not tearing an Ari Yehuda? Is Kriya because of the loss of the Malchus and the control over these cities? That's the Shita of the Bach. Or is it because it has the status of Shcheino Shel Makom? It's the place where the Shechina rests. It's the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests, to the extent that the Rambam says that an Iber Shana, a leap year, can be declared by a basin that sits in Ari Yehuda. That's what the Levush writes. Again, what's the Machlokas? The Machlokas is, again, is the status of where we tear Kriya on Ari Yehuda because it has this, we are upset that we don't have control, or is it because it's the loss of the Shechina from that place because of the Chorban? The Nafgamina would be what? If it would happen in Jewish history that the Ari Yehuda are under Jewish control, but the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, that would be a Nafgamina. Why? Because if there's Malchus Yisrael, then I'll say, I own Ari Yehuda. There's no reason to tear anymore because I have control, like the Bach is saying. But if it's a din in the Chorban and the Shechina is not resting there because of the Chorban, well then Ari Yehuda is lacking that still because there's no Beis HaMikdash, like the Levush. Nowadays, after 1967, would be a nafkamina to tear Kriya or not. Lamaisa, we follow the Bach, that if there's Malchus Yisrael over Ari Yehuda, then there's no din of Kriya when seeing Ari Yehuda. And now it seems how we pask in the Halacha. After the events, we have control of Ari Yehuda, there's no reason to tear Kriya anymore. I would imagine that everyone here, when you've been to Ari Yehuda, does not tear Kriya on seeing it, because we have control. We have a Malchus over those cities. So let's talk about Yerushalayim. Based on the above, we don't tear Kriya when we see Ari Yehuda. But even though Har HaBayis is technically under our control, this is not to be political, it's technically under our control, we still tear Kriya on the Makam HaMikdash because it's still Bechurbana. The Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt. Now, the minag is to tear Kriya when you see the mosque that's sitting on top, or you see the kotel, because we can't usually see the floor of Har HaBayis unless you go up to the top of, like, maybe HaKotel. Even Eish HaTorah is not tall enough to see into the floor of the Makom Megdash. Maybe if you go really, really high to the top of Shivat HaKotel, you can see the floor, but still, we can't really see the floor. So we tear when we see the mosque or we see the Kotel itself. Then Rosh Hashanah writes, but there are those Rabbanim Hatzi'irim. There are these young rabbis who say that there's no need to tear Kriya over the Makom Megdash because we have control. And Rabbi Soloveitchik disagreed. Rabbi Soloveitchik felt it was 100% wrong, and it was the wrong thing to do. Now, Rosh Hashanah says, he doesn't write this in the Sefer, he says, Baal Peh, when he says Rabbanim Hatzi'irim, he's referring to Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, Rav Cook's son. Because Tzvi Yehuda felt, in many places he would write this, that since we have control, there's no reason to tear Kriya anymore when you go to the Kotel. Rav Shechter wrote Rabbanim Hatzi'irim because he didn't want to offend the people in Merkaz HaRav that he was disagreeing with Rav Yehuda Cook. So he kept it anonymous. And then when he published the Sefer, so everyone in Merkaz HaRav said, what are you talking? Rav Tzvi Yehuda says that. How can we even quote him by name? So he tried to like be nice, like, what are you talking about? He says that. What do you mean, the young rabbis? Our Rosh Hashiva says that's what you shouldn't do. So it backfired. Okay. So so that there's a machlokas, Rabbi Soloveitchik, others, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, do you do? I think, so Rav Shechter is clearly going to argue that we do tear Kriya when we go to the Kotel. He's... Well, if it's a... Well, no, meaning what stops the Avelus? There is a thing of Avelus. What is the cessation of Avelus? Is control the... Or is the building of the Beis HaMikdash? That's going to be the point. When it comes to the middle category, Yerushalayim b'Churbana, that we have more of Machlokas. Again, almost everybody agrees on the Kotel... We tear Kriya. Almost everybody agrees in Ari Yehuda, we don't tear Kriya. But what about the old city? That's the point of the Machlokas. So Rav Shechter says as follows. Some people felt that since it's a din in control over the city, after 1967, there's no reason to tear Kriya because Yerushalayim is in our control. That's one. There Rav Shechter has a beautiful footnote. He says, and you'll say that, you know, it's not Malchus Yisrael, Api Halacha, because... You know, they're Rishayim and they're, you know, Machal Shabbos, they don't keep Torah and things like that. So he said, Rav Shechter writes, there have been many, many worse kings of Yisrael who did many, many worse things in Tanakh, who did terrible, terrible Avodah Zarah and murder, and they were still called Malchus Yisrael. So he says, as bad as you think the government is, it's not, you know, Achav and Menashe. Like, you know, it's still, we can still call it Malchus Yisrael. Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that this halacha was about Mikdash itself, because some of Yerushalayim has Kedusha Samigdash. We know that when it says Lifnei Hashem, the Torah can sometimes mean Yerushalayim. Sometimes it can mean like eating Kachim Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim says or talks about the Eser Kedushos, the 10 levels of Kedusha. And the Mefarshim explained that the Mishnah is speaking about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that stems from Kedusha Samigdash, that the holiness of Eretz Yisrael comes from the holiness of the Beis Hamigdash. All of Eretz Yisrael has varying degrees of Kedusha that stem from the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Kriya on Yerushalayim should still exist because the Beis HaMikdash has not yet been rebuilt. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that when you see the old city, you still tear Kriya. Nevertheless, says Rav Shechter, the Minag, it is not to tear Kriya on Yerushalayim as long as it's under Jewish control, because Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Ba'Avelus. Right? We know there's a Machlokas in Avelus. We go Lakula. This is not a din in Kriya like over a mace. It's a din in Avelus. That was the whole point. This is all a din in Avelus. Avelus Yishana. And therefore, combined with the chashash of the Isidu Raisa of Baltashkas of ruining a good shirt, says Rav Shechter, we should not tear Kriya because Halacha Gedibriya Mekel Ba'Avelus. And Kriya over Yerushalayim is a din in Avelus, not a din in Kriya, and therefore be Mekel not to tear. We'll just end with... What? Because the Kotel, no, he holds... What? Yeah. Meaning, what do you mean? Why would I not tear?
Same issue. You have some of the question
saying... Yeah, so, yeah, you know, correct. I'm not to judge who the sheetahs are. It could be... A machlokas means, like, you know, we have... There's some sort of a tension between two major sides there. It seems that 99% to say that to tear Kriya by the Kotel. We'll just end with the Shechter's bracha. He ends here with a beautiful bracha. Haracham an yizakeinu liros binyan beis ha-shlishi b'mehera. Hashem should let us see the third beis ha-migdash. V'tzom ha-ravi, v'tzom ha-chamishi. And the fast should be some times of rejoicing, he lebeis yud the sasun the simcha mod and matovim, the isbatlu ma'alayam kol chiyuvei avelus kriya halo, we should have no more avelus in kriya, the isharu kol elu ha'alachos rak bebechinas pipul ba'ama, this entire sugya should just be just in learning, but not halacha lamaisa, ubetoras drush v'kibaschar, and by learning it, we should only get the schar for it, for you owed la halacha lamaisa, it should no longer be halacha lamaisa, amen, ken yihiratzan.